This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll talk about the 6th District Congressional race. Incumbent Republican Bill Cassidy is running for re-election, and he faces two challengers. And hopefully before November 6th, we will talk with all of the candidates in the race, but one on deck in a few moments is Rufus Craig. He's a lawyer in Baton Rouge, a libertarian, and he is trying to unseat Congressman William Cassidy. We will talk with Rufus Craig about the election, which is now just 36 days away. Also, Jacinta Gonzalez. She is the lead organizer of the New Orleans Workers Center for Racial Justice, and she has some concerns about U.S. immigration policy. All this today, and certainly we ask for your support throughout the day, but first the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Thank you for your support for WRKF, and please keep the phone lines going. And while you're waiting on the line or perhaps contemplating calling, which I hope you will, you can call us at 877-217-5757 or locally 297-5633 and join the conversation with Rufus Holt Craig, Jr. He's a candidate for Congress in the 6th Congressional District, a Libertarian. You may also reach us online, jim@wrkf.org, has been supplanted by a new email address, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Rufus Craig, he got over 50,000 votes in 2004 when he ran against an incumbent Republican, Richard Baker. He lost that race, but 50,000 votes is nothing to discount. He's back again with a vengeance, 8 years later running against another incumbent Republican who holds the same congressional seat, Dr. William Bill Cassidy. Good morning, Rufus.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Why are you running?
I believe that the people need a choice other than the two current parties. The system has been gamed by the way districts are drawn, and the two parties have established basically monopolies over their various districts. The sixth district was redrawn recently, and I believe it's been set up so that whoever the Republican incumbent is basically gets a free pass to Congress.
Now, Rufus Craig, as mentioned, is one of three candidates. The Congressman Bill Cassidy is running for re-election, and also Richard Toragano is in the race, another candidate running without a party affiliation. And we've invited them all on this show, and it would be nice if each one appeared before November 6th, which is just 36 days away. And there will also be a press club debate next Tuesday, or next Monday, rather, a week from today. And I am told that Bill Cassidy will be unable to attend, but Rufus Craig will be there. 297-5633. Why are you a libertarian?
You know, I go back to reading Henry Thoreau's Walden Pond, where he said that the government's best which governs least. I think right now we have a government that's involved in aspects of our activities they shouldn't be in, that they have expanded to a point where that they have to be reined in. We have wars going on across in Afghanistan and Iraq that are unnecessary. We've got 1,500 military bases in, 175 different countries, and the government has gotten too large.
Well, in order to convey that message, you need some resources. Advertising is the way that candidates generally get their message out these days. The days of going door to door have gone by the wayside, but what kind of a war chest have you amassed, Rufus Craig?
Raising money in politics, they always say that money is the mother's milk of politics. I think that politics now are kind of like a horse race. The donor class, if you will, they stand back and they look at the various candidates, and then you can tell what the handicap is on the candidates by how much money they raise. In my case, I've raised almost $4,000, which is a lot of money for my friends to contribute when essentially it would appear that I would be a losing horse. My opponent has raised about $1.8 million. A vast majority of it from outside of the district.
So Bill Cassidy, you say, has raised $1.8 million in his reelection quest. Rufus Craig has raised $4,000.
Correct. Now, I've seen Dr. Cassidy. At least he's putting out signs. I believe if I weren't on the ballot, then he probably wouldn't have to put out signs to get reelected. But I'm hoping that our campaign is at least making the incumbent work.
Now, Bill Cassidy, I think it goes without saying, is at least taking a look at running for the U.S. Senate in 2 years. And if he doesn't spend that $1.8 million this time around, or doesn't spend most of it, he can use that and then run against Mary Landrieu in 2 years. Rufus Craig, if lightning strikes and you're elected to Congress, are you going to be running for the Senate in 2 years?
I doubt it. No, sir.
Okay. Well, what do you think about national politics right now? At one time, you were a Democrat, right?
I was briefly a Democrat in 2004, mainly to be more of the opposition than a Democrat. It wasn't until recently that that libertarians got to have our name on the ballot. If you were a libertarian and you were on the ballot, you didn't have a party affiliation behind your name. Thanks to Mike Wolff's hard work over 20 years, we are now listed on the ballot for what our party is. The national politics, like I said earlier, the congressional districts have been redrawn so that whoever the incumbent is gets an opportunity to draw a district so that it's a safe district, if you will. I would believe that there might be 30, maybe 40 congressional districts nationwide that are competitive. By that, I mean there's each of the two major parties would have an opportunity. Mm-hmm. In Louisiana, we have one minority district, and we have five Republican districts. And I don't know if I'm sure you've looked at the maps, but they don't seem to follow any political or cultural lines that I'm aware of.
Cedric Richmond's district in New Orleans now goes all the way to Southern University.
Correct.
I wonder why that is.
Well, if you look at it, it comes up the river, and each time it passes one of the small river towns, it pulls it in, and I think the object was to ensure that there was a Democratic district, and the other five districts are drawn. I mean, if you look at Rodney Alexander's, it goes from Bogalusa to Bastrop. The 6th District goes from Pointe Coupee to St. Mary Parish and from Livingston Parish down to the canal at Kenner. I'm not sure the rationale behind it other than ensuring that the incumbents are reelected.
297-5633, we will go to the phone lines with lawyer Rufus Craig. He's a libertarian, born November 6, 1953, 4 days before LSU football coach Leslie Edwin Miles, who won a tight game, surprisingly tight, the other night against Towson, 38-22. And that means you'll be celebrating your birthday on election day. You going to throw a big party?
I sure hope it's a big party, sure.
Okay. Chad and Baker. Chad, good morning. You're on with Rufus Craig.
Good morning, Mr. Anson, and also the guest, Mr. Craig. You had touched on the point what I wanted to bring up. Talking about the redistricting or gerrymandering that took place. And being my parents and I, longtime residents of the area, used to be in District 6, but now our mail-in ballot, we're voting for someone in District 2. And I just want to get your thoughts on how the money and politics and also gerrymandering is corrupting democracy.
Well, it is corrupting because the redistricting is done by the party that's in power. They draw the districts to ensure that they maintain that power. Most districts are, in essence, one-party districts. That doesn't sound like democracy to me. And the way these new districts are drawn, most folks that I've talked to don't know what district they're in.
And at one time, Congressman Baker, who you ran against in 2004, was living in Cleo Fields' district, and Cleo Fields was living in Congressman Baker's district. You can run for any congressional
Correct.
District you want to in Louisiana.
Right. Dr. Cassidy is very close to the borderline between the 6th district and the 2nd district where he lives.
He lives right on the outskirts of LSU, on Dalrymple Drive.
Old South Baton Rouge and Scottonville are all now part of the 2nd district, whereas downtown and the university area are 6th district. I'm not sure, what the rationale behind that is other than ensuring the reelection of the incumbents.
297-5633 for Rufus Craig, libertarian candidate for Congress. I see this story today. It's the top story in our local paper, The Advocate. Afghanistan deaths hit 2,000. What do you think about the war in Afghanistan, Rufus?
Well, I think calling it the first error was calling it a war. It should have been a police action. to arrest and execute Osama bin Laden for the crime that he committed. We've been there 11 years. We're at a point now where Afghan policemen are shooting American soldiers, and we're accidentally bombing and killing women and children. I think that that conflict has run its course. We should give it back to the Afghans and hope that they do the best they can with their own country.
We'll continue our discussion with Rufus Holt Craig, Jr., candidate for Congress. He's done this once before. Last time around, he was a Democrat running against Richard Baker in 2004. He lost that one, but he got over 50,000 votes. He's back again 8 years later running as a Libertarian against another incumbent Republican, Bill Cassidy. 297-5633 is your number. Jim at WRKF.org has now been replaced by Inkster Show at WRKF.org. Back after this brief timeout on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757. You may reach us online. Jim at WRKF.org has been replaced by a new email, Inkstershow, E-N-G-S-T-E-R-S-H-O-W, at WRKF.org. We continue with Rufus Craig, candidate for Congress. He's a Libertarian trying to unseat the incumbent Republican Bill Cassidy, who's raised almost $2 million. Rufus Craig is just hit the $4,000 mark in contributions. The election is 36 days away. For whom will you vote for president?
Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate.
And why?
I think that, once again, I believe that the Libertarians are more representative of the average American than either the current party, the major parties. We propose ideas to deal with the debt and deficit that will actually deal with the problems. Both of the major parties tend to want to fiddle around the edges and not really address the problems. Medicare has to be reformed, and I don't believe that either Obamacare or the Romney-Ryan plan will adequately address the problems associated with Medicare. We have to move away from a fee-for-services business model, and we need to increase transparency in both the cost and the outcome of health care so that the market can effectively bring the costs down. And the Department of Defense has to be reined in. It makes up 20% of the budget. And like I said earlier, we have soldiers stationed all over the world to protect America's interests, and I'm not completely sure what those interests are in these faraway places.
You are prime Vietnam time, being born in 1953. What happened to you?
Fortunately for me, I'm a little bit too young. I finished high school in 71. Of course, the war was winding down in 1970 and 71.
You could have enlisted.
I went to LSU instead. I have friends that went there. As a young man, that was a learning experience where I learned that our government can lie to us about what our foreign policy is and actually have young people killed in the face of misinformation or outright lying.
Mm-hmm. What's your take on the president and Governor Romney?
I think it's an interesting campaign. I think that Governor Romney seems to have difficulty staying on message that communicates to the ordinary voter. He tends to lapse his rich man mode when he shouldn't.
Rich man mode? What's a rich man mode?
His 47% of people don't pay income taxes statement, his $10,000 bet with Rick Perry during one of the debates, those sorts of things where if my wife has two Cadillacs, I don't think he really understands the struggles that most people are going through right now.
You don't make any $10,000 bets?
No, sir.
Okay, 297-5633 for Rufus Holt Craig, Jr., candidate for Congress, trying to beat Bill Cassidy. John and Baker. John, you're on the air with Rufus Craig.
Good morning to you both. I guess a quick follow-up question for your guest. I think I heard him speak toward arresting and executing Osama bin Laden, which I kind of agree with. Of course, my idea would have been that we should have arrested and I think tried Osama bin Laden in a criminal court of law, which we do believe in staunchly, I guess, supposedly. I mean, he wasn't an American citizen, but was charged with a crime on American soil and against Americans. And I'd like to ask your guest, I guess, if he even agrees with the that there's a contradiction between, I guess, our forms of exporting liberty and democracy and yet kind of conveniently denying both forms in cases such as that one. Thank you, sir.
To both your points, you're correct. I think we should have arrested, tried, convicted, and executed Mr. Bin Laden. As to the second question,
where would we do that?
In New York City, where he committed his crime.
That would be somewhat of a circus.
Well, we won't have to suffer through that indignity. But the second question is that exporting democracy by dropping 500-pound J-dams doesn't seem to be a particularly good idea. I've said for years, almost tongue-in-cheek, but I think somewhat seriously, that if we truly want to export democracy and influence people, we would have done better flying over their neighborhoods in a Piper Cub throwing out $100 bills. It's hard to convince convince people that we stand for something that they would want if we're in the act of killing women and children.
Deborah in Mid-City asks a question via email about women's issues. I'm trying to find it, Kevin. Deborah wants to know about the Libertarian Party platform regarding women's rights.
Well, let me just say I have four sisters and seven nieces. I've been surrounded by girls most of my life. I have a beautiful wife who's a special ed teacher. But I believe that women's rights, they should have a right to choose. They should have a right to make their own health care decisions. They should have a right to vote. They should have a right to be engaged in our in our society. During this campaign, I've been surprised at some of the comments that I've heard people make about both race and sex, thinking that I thought we'd had those conversations in the 60s and those debates were over, but obviously there are still people who want to go back to the good old days of the 1940s and 50s.
All right. Rich wants to know your opinion or your stance on same-sex marriage.
I don't think the government should be involved in marriage on any level. That's a personal
decision.
Have
a marriage license?
Because that's what's required now. But that government should be sanctioning marriage doesn't seem correct to me. That's a personal choice. That's things that people do. And government shouldn't be involved in it. That's a religious decision if you want it to be.
But you're a divorce lawyer, so what? Without a license to marry, what happens?
I didn't make the rules up. I just play the game that's in front of me. Divorce is what the law requires now, and I'm a lawyer, so I help people based on the rules as they currently exist.
All right. Now, Governor Johnson, your candidate for president, was on this show Friday, and he voiced full-throated support for legalization of drugs. What do you think?
I agree with Governor Johnson on that wholeheartedly as well. The war on drugs has been going on for 40-plus years. We've locked millions of our citizens in jail, spent billions of dollars trying to combat it, and yet the only thing that I've noticed is there seems to be more of it than there was 40 years ago. There's tens of thousands of Mexicans dying about the money that's involved in the business. Classic example is Portugal legalized drugs many years ago, several years ago, and substance abuse and drug abuse in Portugal has dropped by over 50% since it was legalized.
297-5633, still time to get in with Rufus Craig, candidate for Congress. He's running as a Libertarian this time. 8 years ago, he was a Democrat in the race against Richard Baker, received over 50,000 votes and losing to Congressman Baker, who has since gone off to be head of the National Hedge Fund Association. What do you think about people in Congress cashing in after they've served on Capitol Hill and getting these high-paying jobs with organizations that used to lobby them?
I think that's just another example of how the special interests have taken over Washington. Congressman Baker worked on the House Bank and Financial Institutions Committee. He worked very, very hard to ensure that derivative funds were not regulated by the federal government, arguing that they were insurance and they should be regulated by the various states. And as most people are aware, it was the credit default swaps and derivative funds which were primarily responsible for the bank collapse in 2008.
You said you had a plan, or the Libertarian Party has a plan to address the roaring deficit in debt. What's your plan?
The plan is everything has to be on the table. The Department of Defense and Medicare are the two prime drivers of the deficit, but every other aspect of the government should be reviewed for its necessity. I think one thing that everybody knows about is the TSA. I submit that the airline industry should be responsible for their own security, and they should suffer the consequences if there's a breach. Additionally, we have a tax code right now that has been designed to benefit particular and special interest. I think the Grover Norquist pledge of no new taxes is, I say, all new taxes. I say let's toss the current code and reinstitute a fair tax code that doesn't require a lawyer to understand what's happening.
Today is Jimmy Carter's 88th birthday, the 37th United States president, actually 39th president. What do you think of previous presidents? Or as a libertarian, are there any of them that you have respect, admiration for?
Well, you mentioned Mr. Carter. His works since he's left the presidency have been outstanding. I think he works tirelessly for people who are in need. I think the first President Bush and President Clinton's efforts on combat the spread of AIDS in Africa are admirable. I think all those three stand out.
All right, here's a question from a listener. When you ran for Congress in 2004 as a Democrat, that was in a presidential election year as well. For whom did you vote in that election? Do you recall? You had George Bush and John Kerry. And
I voted for John Kerry.
You voted for John Kerry.
Yes, sir. And I say, I believe in the importance of opposition politics. It's in order for democracy to function, there has to be choices. Reiterating what I said earlier, the way congressional districts are drawn now, people really don't have a choice. I mean, in this year, there's not a Democrat on the ballot in the 6th District, which I find amazing. We shouldn't have incumbents that think that they have 100% of support or that their mm-hmm. ideas are perfectly okay. It's critical that people who have different ideas that stand in opposition to the powers that be have an opportunity to be heard.
You like your guy running at the top of the ticket, former Governor Johnson. You're a workout guy. Do you run marathons in less than 3 hours?
No, I do not run marathons. When I was much younger, I thought I was pretty good at it. I'm a walker now. I get up every morning with my lab and go for a long walk. Mm-hmm. Running's hard on my back. I have issues with my back, but I go walking every day.
You've run marathons?
I ran a half marathon.
I bet you know your time, don't you?
It was a minute and 48.
A minute and 48?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fast, right?
It was pretty good.
I think that's an hour and 48.
An hour and 48.
You're not going to fib about your marathon time,
no,
are
sir,
you?
No.
You know, there are people
I have not
who
run
allegedly
a marathon.
Do that sort of thing.
No.
But runners know their times, don't they?
10Ks were the primary race that I ran, and my personal record in a 10K 20-some-odd years ago was a 38:12.
All right. Another listener asks about gun regulation. Would you be in favor of tightening gun regulation in the United States?
Well, yeah, I'm a gun owner and a sportsman. I have real problems with what's happening in our community right now as a result of gun violence. I'm not sure that regulating guns is the way to go about stopping it. Of course, I think that machine guns and rocket-propelled grenade launchers, things like that, should not be available. But the Second Amendment was enacted. Had nothing. They weren't mm-hmm. thinking about squirrel hunting when they did the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is designed to ensure that our First Amendment rights are protected by our individual right to have a firearm, so that I can't be compelled to not talk to Jim Inkster or to go to or not go to a particular church. The government would have to convince me as they look down the barrel of my 9mm.
So you think you should be able to carry a gun wherever you want if you're a law-abiding citizen?
if everyone was law abiding, if everyone were law abiding a citizen, there'd be no need to carry a gun.
That's a yes.
Yes.
A yes. Are you packing heat today?
No, sir. I do not carry a gun. No, sir. I hope that I carry myself in such a fashion that no one would be threatening me or challenging me with a firearm.
Well, you never know, though.
You never know. That's correct.
297-5633 is your number, 877-217-5757. Rufus Craig is our guest candidate for Congress, and he will be on the ballot on his birthday, November 6th. That's 36 days away. Tonight, by the way, at 6 o'clock at Southern University, Mayor President Kip Holden will be on hand debating his challengers, Mike Walker, Steve Myers, Gordon Meese. And if you have a question that you'd like for yours truly to pose to the candidates, you can send it to inkstershow@wrkf.org, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We'll be back after this brief pause. We return to the station, and we ask for your support for WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633, inkstershow@wrkf.org. Jacinta Gonzalez is having some difficulty joining us, so we'll continue our conversation with Rufus Holt Craig, Jr., candidate for Congress. The election 36 days away, 5 weeks from tomorrow, on Mr. Craig's birthday. Now, your father was a prominent physician, wasn't he? Kind of like Congressman Cassidy. Do you ever get the political bug?
He had the political. He never ran, but he was actively involved in politics in Alexandria.
And if memory serves, at one time he was vying to be Surgeon General of the United States.
He was a major supporter of Jimmy Carter and a contributor and a fundraiser. And I appreciated that he was one of the physicians that was considered to be Surgeon General.
All right, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Rufus Craig.
Good morning, gentlemen. Yes, sir, Mr. Craig, I would agree with you about needing a third or maybe even a fourth party to have real, to get some political muscle to put some more of the concerns of the public before government, to get some things passed. And because I understand the polls show that there's 70% of people that approve of a popular piece of legislation, and it just gets locked up in Washington. You could look at the Tea Party movement and how the Occupy Wall Street movement have been co-opted and kind of like, have fallen off the map for a little while.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the two parties that we currently are in a symbiotic relationship with one another. They, I need this, you need that, they make a deal. One of my favorite quotes from political history was Huey Long came back from Washington and said he had learned the difference between a Republican and a Democrat. The Republican skins you from the ears down. Democrat skins you from the feet up. Both ways you end up skinned. I think the people, most of the people I've talked to are frustrated and tired of what's going on in Washington. Their inability to adequately address the problems of this nation. This debt and deficit problem that we have now is not anything new. It's been around. Back 16 years ago, they had the contract with America, where the Republicans said if we put them in power, they were going to balance the budget and amend the Constitution to require it. Well, 16 years later, and I haven't seen anything but deficit coming out of there. I think if there were a viable third party or fourth party or fifth party, whatever it is, there needs to be some mechanism whereby we can shake up the current status quo.
877-217-5757 for Rufus Craig, candidate for Congress. Hawk on Corsi wants to know if you have a hunting or fishing license.
Yes, I do. I've been hunting and fishing since I was 10 years old. I think that's a critical part of being from Louisiana. I was talking earlier, and one of the interesting things that we have is we have a United States senator who has never had a hunting and fishing license.
Who are we talking about? Mary Landrieu?
No. Senator Vitter, as I appreciate it, has never had a hunting and fishing
license. He doesn't have a hunting and fishing license.
As I appreciate it, and that seems odd that someone that's never been hunting or fishing could represent Louisiana.
Well, you could run against him at some point. But
we'll see how this race goes.
All right, 297-5633, InksterShow@WRKF.org. Miriam in Inniswald asked, how would Mr. Craig manage a critical shared public asset like our environment?
The environment is, like you say, a critical shared asset. I think that it is important for our posterity that we maintain it. We only have one Earth. If we poison it, there will be nowhere for us to go. So it's critical that we maintain strong environmental control, so that it's easy to produce a product if you can discharge some of the cost of that product onto the environment. My economics professor called it an external diseconomy. You have to ensure that industry is incurring all of the costs associated with producing a product, so that when they sell it, there are no hidden profits associated with being able to dump the dirt under the rug, so to speak.
Today at the Press Club, 320 3rd Street, De La Ron Hall, the candidates for Public Service Commission will be on stage and answering questions and, of course, exchanging pleasantries with each other. That's a race you could have run for, Rufus Craig. You're smiling. Must have given it a little bit of thought. But what about energy issues as far as they relate to the office that you're seeking, the U.S. House of Representatives?
Well, right now there is no coherent energy issue, energy policy in America. The, I've heard drill, baby, drill at the same time that every drilling rig that's exists in America is drilling a hole. We have an energy policy now that seems to be driven by the energy companies. They want to sell as much oil as they can at the highest price they can. And we talk about importing oil. But right now the Cheniere Energy Group is retrofitting a liquefied natural gas plant that they built off the coast of Lake Charles. They're retrofitting it to export natural gas. And I would submit that if we have energy problems in this country, then we should address it with domestic energy sources. Natural gas could be liquefied and used to run fleet vehicles, which would take demand pressure off of gasoline, which would drop the price of gasoline. There needs to be a policy directed toward using the resources that we have.
Mm-hmm. Do you listen to public radio?
It's the only radio station I listen to.
Hopefully you're a member, Rufus Craig.
I've been a member. I'm not sure I'm a member
as we speak. This is the time to sign up.
I'd like to pledge $100 right now.
All right. Well, that's the spirit that we have as we move along this morning, as we continue our fall pledge drive. And, Governor Jindal his bodyguard said his favorite program, I don't know how much he listens to radio, hopefully some, and hopefully to this station, particularly between 9 and 10 o'clock each morning. But he likes 2.5 Men. That's his favorite show. What do you watch when you watch the small screen?
Gee, I watch the History Channel and the National Geographic Channel and the Military Channel. I'm not much on the 30-minute sitcoms. I don't watch those.
All right, so we know you pack heat and you watch these serious shows. What do you do for fun?
Go walking with my dog. I go hunting and fishing. I read. Mm-hmm. Spend time with my wife.
Well, I'm sure you're familiar with pop culture of your era, and you're not that much older than Kevin Gallagher and I. And Kevin was quite disconsolate last week at the loss of the crooner Andy Williams. For those of us of a certain age, we knew Andy well. At least we thought we did.
I remember Andy Williams, and Moon River was a song from my childhood.
There you go. He only had one number one, though. It was Butterfly.
Wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, but Andy Williams, I interviewed him a few times through the years, and first time I interviewed him, I remember a guy in West Monroe called in and said, Andy, I just love that song of yours. I just love it. And I thought he was going to say Moon River, and he said, I left my heart in San Francisco.
That was a good one, too.
But to think that people of, you grew up in the 60s and 70s. People of our vintage, through all those years, starting in 1955 when Andy Williams started appearing on The Tonight Show with Steve Allen, up until 2011, there was an Andy on in prime time every week of the year. There was Andy Williams, Andy Griffith, and Andy Rooney, and they all died within the last 11 months.
Not aware of that
think
either.
About that. But your dad wanted to be the Surgeon General for Jimmy Carter, who is 88 years young today.
I'm not sure he wanted to be the Surgeon General. I think there was some discussion about it.
Well, he was, if I remember, he was his politics were a little different than yours.
My father was very, very conservative.
Yeah.
He was a Republican early on. I think when he registered to be a Republican, there were probably fewer than 10,000 Republicans in Louisiana.
That brings us to a final question from a listener today. In the Libertarian fold, for those who have converted, as you have, former Democrat, are there more former Democrats or former Republicans?
I think there's there are both. Both. I think that the Republicans have for years taken the Libertarian vote for granted. Not unlike the Democrats taking the minority vote for granted. I think that the Republicans have abandoned the Libertarians, and I think the Democrats, there's a spot in the party for the Democrats as well.
Well, Rufus Craig is on the ballot, 6th District Congressional race, which goes all the way down to Thibodeau now, and, of course, represents most of Baton Rouge, and he'll be running against the Congressman Bill Cassidy and Richard Torregano, and hopefully we will hear from them soon on this show. They are invited. And until tomorrow, for Kevin Gallagher, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay tuned.